Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann LaGorry on this Saturday morning, May 22nd. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning on WLIW 88.3 FM. And each show is archived on my website at annlagorry.com if you missed the live version of the show. And you can also hear it on podcast, distributed on Audioboom and iTunes. It's called Sports Interview with Ann LaGorry. Well, I am at the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island in South Carolina. And you golfers know Kiawah Island. In 2012, Rory McIlroy won his second major championship by 8 shots. Well, this morning we'll hear Rory as he addressed the media this past Tuesday and talked about what he remembers from that 2012 PGA Championship and his win here, and really how different he thinks the course is playing this week compared to that PGA Championship, which actually back in 2012 was in August. This was years before this major championship moved from August to May. And as Rory McIlroy mentioned earlier this week, conditions in May are totally different than conditions in August based on weather, based on winds. He said back in 2012, he remembers the pest pollen grass was very strong, very dense, and the ball was sitting up quite well. And therefore, he remembers chipping and putting really well. Well, this week he said the lies are more bare. It's very hard to chip with very little grass underneath the ball. But he said it's more like links-like conditions. And the winds have been pretty intense early in the week, and they're very different. A lot of holes that would normally have wind with have had wind against, and the winds are changing all the time. So what they had earlier this week will probably be very different from what they'll have this weekend. So the wind providing a major challenge for the guys this weekend at the PGA Championship. The course here is at 7,876 yards, which is the longest course in major championship history. The back nine is measured over 4,000 yards, which is just unbelievable. When some of the guys heard how long the course is, they just couldn't believe it. But they're used to playing all different lengths, but this is really, really long, and put the wind in there and it becomes even more of a brutal test. So Jordan Spieth, he came in earlier this week to address the media, and he was talking about how, you know, he came down with COVID after the Masters in April, and he was out for 21 days, and he was late kind of in, they had some weather issues in Dallas, so he was late in getting from Dallas here to South Carolina, and he hasn't really played this course much. But boy, wouldn't it be great if Jordan Spieth could win here. If he could win the PGA Championship, he would complete the career Grand Slam, which is really the only major he has yet to win. He's won the Masters, he's won the U.S. Open, and he's won the PGA Championship. So, and he's playing very, very well, aside from having to take so much time off because of COVID. Brooks Koepka, he came in earlier in the week, two-time PGA champion. I don't expect a lot out of Brooks Koepka this week because he's, you know, recuperating from a knee injury. He said he's moving a lot better. He can transfer his weight on the right side better. But, you know, he's just not 100% in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see. There's, I mean, so many guys have the opportunity to win here. There's just so many. The depth is incredible. And of course, Colin Morikawa is the defending champion. And you'll hear from Rory McIlroy and you'll hear from Jordan Spieth this morning from their press conferences. Bryson DeChambeau, I mean, he's with his distance, he just really has to control the ball though. With the fairways are quite generous, but with the wind, you just have to really be in control of your tee shots. And it's really going to be accuracy with the mid or long irons because of the wind. A lot of these guys are going to be using longer irons to attack the greens. And so they're really going to have to be very accurate and sharp with their iron play. And of course, you have to be a great putter. You have to put it all together here. Dustin Johnson knows that it's going to take a complete game to win here. DJ, Masters champion from 2020, looking to win his first PGA title. He also won a U.S. Open in 2016. All right, we are going to, so you'll hear from Jordan Spieth this morning. You'll hear from Rory McIlroy this morning. But we're also going to continue our series on CBD. And in this morning's interview, Erin Meagher, the CEO of Chillaxon CBD, will join me. And Erin will share her thoughts on CBD and its correlation to positive mental health. Now, as you may know by now, I am an ambassador for Chillaxon CBD. And we've talked about CBD with Erin as it relates to athletic recovery, as it relates to stress, to heart health. In this show, we'll discuss CBD and mental health. So all that coming up this morning on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.
I'm Tanzina Vega. You're listening to 88.3 WLIW-FM and WLIW.org/radio, Long Island's only NPR station.
Realizing, Jordan, that you never get to where you want to go in the game. If you look back over the last, say, 6 months, what do you consider the single biggest turning point in getting your game turned around?
I'm not sure if there was a single turning point. I think it was kind of a progression of, you know, finding some feels that allowed me to stand comfortably over the ball and hit a shot under pressure, and then doing that for multiple days in a row, and then having that happen a couple tournaments in a row. So it's back to that Phoenix Pebble time frame where I kind of thought, man, okay, I know it's not where I want it to be, but it doesn't need to be for me to at least tap into how to, you know, contend out here. And I think it was kind of that 2 week time frame that was really big for me.
Let's go to number seven.
I'm curious what it's been like getting ready for a major a month after the Masters, and also what the challenges are, knowing you have two more in succession. How has that been different than or challenging for you?
I mean, I like it. I like the idea of playing them each month. I've done a very poor job of getting ready for this one. I got COVID and was out about 20, 21 days without practicing, and then came back for a week kind of slowly, and then played last week. So I feel better about where I am now than where I was a month ago, sitting on a couch. But to answer your question about the timing, the quick timing of it, it's I personally like it because, you know, if you're working to peak for Augusta and you're in form there, you know, you're just trying to fine tune things through the rest of that major season. And a lot of times it stays that way. So, I mean, if you're betting on yourself, you like them closer together. And then you just go out and perform. So they're obviously, they all play very different from each other. All four majors, with this one and the U.S. Open being probably most similar, but can still be massively different depending on the which court. Like this year, they'll be so different the way they play. But a lot of times they're just big, long golf courses with heavy rough. And so, yeah, I mean, I like it the way it is with the major schedule now, for sure.
Polled your colleagues. Would most of them, you think, have the same opinion as you?
Yeah, and I think maybe because it just opens up a lot of different golf courses if you're playing this in May versus August. You kind of have to stay up north. And I think, you know, and then we'll see as we – you know, move on the next 10, 15 years where this tournament's going to go. I think you're able to come to, I mean, this place in August, I know they did it in 2012, but I just feel like you get a different variety of a golf course. You could have opposite direction winds, just see almost multiple different golf courses within one. And you could also have the ability to go, you know, to Texas like they're going to, which for me, that's awesome. So if you poll all the players, I would think they would be happy about the way it is, and the idea that we then can finish our season in August, not compete with football, and then you know, create a little bit of an off season for ourselves.
Jordan, we're going to zoom out to Steve. Steve, unmute yourself. You are up with Mr. Spieth.
Jordan, I was hoping to ask a couple of them. In general, what do you think of this golf course and in particular, and as well as Pete Dye golf courses?
I haven't played a hole yet. Yeah. I'll let you know. We had some weather issues in Dallas and then got in a little later than expected. But from what I've heard, it's, you kind of got to get some good lines off the tees. The areas to hit them aren't extremely narrow, but controlling your tee shots in the wind with some awkward looking tee shots, like hitting kind of towards a tree when the fairway looks like it's somewhere else. So that's kind of the gist of what I've heard off the tee. And then a lot of it being a second shot golf course, having to really control your distances from 160 to 220, in the wind, and being able to, you know, hit as many greens as possible with this past Palom. I think getting onto those greens in regulation is going to be very important this week, in inevitably, windy conditions being on the water.
Do you like Pete Dye courses?
I do. I really like Pete Dye golf courses. I don't think I've fared extremely well on them because they have to be played with such patience. And when it's a major, I feel like I do a better job of that in general, just kind of getting into the tournament at a more patient level. You don't really see guys, you know, start out shooting, you know, 63 like last week. So I think I just find a better way of being patient. But that's been kind of my and just the imagination you have to have around the greens, the tough spots you can get to, and variety of shots that need to be played from there. I think, you know, again, you just have to really, on Pete Dye golf courses, you just got to wait for your chances. I mean, you think something's a good look, but then if you miss it by a couple yards the wrong side, you know, you're really in trouble. So he does a good job of kind of making you kind of think you're in, you know, the A spot. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just barely miss it and you end up in a tough location to make par. So this week, I think it'll be more about hitting middle of greens and then taking advantage of par fives.
Let's go Jeff, number two.
Jordan, as you say, you haven't played it yet, but as you you hear coming in how difficult this place is going to play, you know, the wind's here. It's the longest track in major championship history. How do you prepare for that mentally? And do you think players can kind of psych themselves out before they ever get going on a Thursday?
I'm not sure. I can't speak to other players, but for myself, I haven't looked at the length of a golf course since junior golf. I mean, for us, it just, things change. The wind will make, you know, 515 yard holes play driver 9-iron, you know, just if it's downwind and it gets firm. I've heard the back nine stretches to almost 4,000 yards, and then today Matt Jones came to the range and he just kind of let out a sigh. He's like, man, 14 through 18 was all you want today. So I know, you know, obviously taking advantage of the downwind holes and hanging on for dear life into the wind out here. The holes will play obviously much longer when you turn into the breeze, and then much shorter downwind, more so than other golf courses when they can get firm and fast and the ball's going to chase out. So I think picking clubs off tees, picking lines off tees are going to be important. And I would have liked to have seen the golf course a few times. And it just wasn't a possibility this year for me. So going to need to do a lot of good work the next 2 days.
Okay. We're going to zoom out to Dan.
Jordan, you mentioned about trying to peak at majors. How much is the career Grand Slam weighing on your mind this week?
How much is the Grand Slam what? Sorry?
How much is the career Grand Slam
it's not,
weighing on you?
It's not. I mean, I think, you know, as we get into the weekend, if I'm able to work my way into contention, I think it's something that'll obviously be asked and come up, and it's something that I certainly want. But, I mean, you go to a major, and for me at this point, I want to win the Masters as badly as I ever have this year. Didn't happen. I want to win this one as badly as I ever have, you know, and then – once you move on to the U.S. Open, the same. Majors are, again, like you mentioned, that's what we're here. We're trying to peak for those. And I feel like I'll have a lot of chances at this tournament. And if I just focus on trying to take advantage of this golf course, play it the best I can, and kind of stay in the same form, tee to green, I've been in, all I can ask for is a chance.
Shift back to number 10 back here.
Jordan, you mentioned not playing for a little bit while you recovered. How much did stamina play into the weekend that you had or the Sunday that you had? And then how much do you think it'll play in this week with such a long golf course?
I think it was the sideways driving rain and 20-mile-an-hour winds that played into my Sunday. I just didn't take advantage of the first eight holes like KH did. But in those last few groups, there weren't a lot of extremely low scores other than his. So I think that was more of it than anything else, but it was a long week for sure. Especially first week back. So, I was a bit tired, but yesterday, you know, came out and just had a hour and a half, 2 hour, you know, light session just to kind of get the body moving. And, I feel good today, so it shouldn't be any issue.
Let's go to Doug. Three balls.
I'm going to assume you don't read a lot of stories about yourself. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Can you, in the last, say, couple years, can you get an idea of what's being said about you based on the questions you get asked?
No. Idea of what's being said about me? Oh, based on, like, being in an interview?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, but unless anyone's been in a similar position, I don't really take it to mean a whole lot because, obviously, if you study the game, you study players, but... the people that I ask and rely on and talk to and vent to are the people that you know have at least had relatable situations and therefore can, you know, instead of being so high on the highs and so low on the lows, it's just a steady voice has kind of been helpful for me.
I'm not sure I understood the highs and the lows.
Yeah, what I just feel like I feel like in general at media. It's
exaggerating.
It's very exaggerated on both ends that I've seen on, for me personally, I've seen it on both sides when it's just so temporary. It's like, what have you done the last couple of weeks? It's like, I have one good Saturday in Phoenix and they're like, oh, so you're back. It's like, I shot one good round. Like, I mean, this is a thing I want to do for 20 years is play consistent golf. And in that, yeah, I've had some pretty high ups and some pretty low lows for my age, but it's just part of the learning curve, I think. And so I imagine it's just been exaggerated on both ends, and so there's no use in getting caught up in it.
And then secondly, during some of the bad struggle stretches, if you will, how much unsolicited advice did you get?
I mean, I'm not very good at responding to texts. I'm not very good. I don't read. I've kind of not exposed myself to reading anything that would come up about myself. So very little. I think the weirdest part is just when you're, you know, out and about at a golf course or even at like a restaurant and someone's like, hey, you know, hope you figure it out or something like that. I'm like, okay, I mean, you know, it's golf. So that kind of, you just got to kind of brush and laugh it off and stick to your game plan and believe in yourself. I mean, bet on yourself, you know, I've always done that and feel like that's paid off pretty well to this point. And if my next 8 years are like my last 8 years, I'd certainly sign up for that.
Ron on number four.
And speaking of that, how much do you feel like the player you were when you were at your best? And is that even a fair measure? Is that what you measure yourself by, or is it something different?
I'm kind of at this point measuring myself off of feels and freedom, playing golf from a position where I feel comfortable stepping over this shot. You know, I'm embracing this long iron into a green under pressure versus, oh, shoot, you know, where's this thing going to go? I think that's more versus like actually drawing back on results from previous years. Because to be honest, people always look at 2015. I was actually a better player in 2017, but everyone just looks at results. Not, I had a lower scoring average. I was better tee to green. I was a better player. I just happened to, you know, DJ wins in a playoff or I'd have had another win there. You know, like just the timing of when it happened didn't lead to the amount of results like a couple more wins and another major in 15. So it's just, it's more like the playing with freedom for me, regardless of results. Cause I know if I'm playing with freedom that I have the confidence level and the skill set to be able to compete in the biggest tournaments. I mean, that's where I can draw back on previous times.
Remember, I think at Greensboro last year, you talked about making yourself hit shots you weren't comfortable with. Is you gotten to the point now where you're more comfortable doing that, or was that part of what you had to do?
Yeah, certainly holes here or there where I played them poorly, there's scar tissue, and stepping up and embracing those, and whether it works out or not is a big, that's part of Doug's first question on, you know, where's the moment where it's like, it's those moments where you step up, you're like, all right, this shot, you know, I hit out of bounds last year and I'm uncomfortable and nervous over it, but now I know what to do to make sure that doesn't happen. And then you stripe a couple of them and it's just you almost forget about the bad ones. You just draw back on the most previous ones.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW-FM and WLIW.org/radio, Long Island's only NPR station. Curtain goes up every Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Broadway to Main Street, you pass by.
The following is a public service announcement from 88.3 WLIW-FM.
Founded in 1974, the Animal Rescue Fund is an animal welfare organization located at 90 Daniels Hole Road in Waynescott on the east end of Long Island. ARF's mission is to actively rescue cats and dogs, provide quality care, and offer sanctuary until loving homes can be found. To adopt, donate, or volunteer, 631-537-0400 or arfhamptons.org.
We are pleased to be joined by two-time PGA champion, Rory McIlroy. Rory, welcome back for what is your 13th career PGA championship. And you're back on familiar ground, some good memories, I would imagine. Looking back at that win in the context of to the moment, the longest golf course in major championship history, only to be bested this year, and one of those highest scoring averages on that Friday, was that about as good as you can play that week 9 years ago?
Yeah, it's up there. And it's funny, I wasn't playing very well coming into it. I think I'd missed like four of my last six cuts, played okay in Akron the week before, finished like fifth, but sort of got here to this course, and some weeks you just have a good feeling. Some weeks you just sort of go with it, and that was one of those weeks that it felt good. And I got off to a good start. I took advantage of the benign conditions on the first day, and probably the best round of the week for me was the Friday. As you said, I think the scoring average that day was 78. I think I shot 75, which I was delighted with. Played really well over the weekend. It's 9 years ago. It seems longer ago. It seems like there's been a lot of time that's passed, and I feel like I'm a different person and a different player. And it's a different time of year. Probably going to be a different wind than we played in than the last time, so it's going to play like a completely different golf course. So, I played great here last time, obviously, and won my first PGA and my second major. But just because I did that doesn't mean that I'm going to find it any easier this week than anyone else. It's a really tough test, especially when the wind's blowing like this. Those last few holes out there are brutal, and it's going to be a great test. And look, I've maybe got some better memories and better vibes here than most of the other guys do. And that's obviously nice, but I'm not sure it's going to enable me to play any better. But, it is nice to be back.
Good. Let's hit the floor for some questions. Let's start out with number 7 here.
Hey, Rory. I'm just curious, like, on a windy day like this, there's a lot of wind, there's a lot of factors, you may be going through a lot of numbers. How do you, when you're on the course, like clip out of that mode and then focus on like the shot at hand? Once you pull the club, you step into the shot, suddenly you have to put all this thought that you've just gone through to the side. Like, what's that process like, and how do you do it?
You just play golf. I've been playing golf for 30 years, so I sort of, it's automatic. I don't really think about it. I get the wind, I get the number, I try to visualize what I'm going to do, and then I try to replicate what I have just visualized. I think in practice rounds as well, I try to keep my focus by playing one ball and by trying to shoot a score and by trying to get into, you know, just get into play mode a little bit. But yeah, I mean, on days like this, there's, you can almost take on too much information. You know, it's a day where you have to, you could almost eyeball it instead of having a number, and instead of, you know, it's, you know, it just sort of, you know, you could have 110, but it just feels like a little 9-iron or a little 8-iron, and just sort of go with that. It sort of goes back to playing golf as you did as a kid, without a yardage book, without a, and just sort of eyeballing it and playing a bit more by feel.
Let's go here, number 6, and then round 11.
Rory, obviously great memories from 2012. Nick Faldo made the point that you could easily come here feeling like you're the defending champion, with no disrespect to Colin Morikawa. Is Faldo right?
I think I finished tied 32nd last year in this tournament, so no, I don't feel like that at all.
But equally, just, you know, reflecting on what happened last time here, how different a golfing challenge does it look? Obviously, different time of year, weather conditions, it was soft last time. How different is it this time?
It's different. It's a different time of year. I think one of the biggest differences that I've noticed is it's not going to be as easy around the greens as it was last time. Last time in August, it was hot, humid. The Paspalum was like really strong and dense and lush, so the ball would just sit right up on top, and it was so easy to just get your lob wedge out, clip it, spin it. So I felt like around the greens last time was a lot easier compared to you sort of, a few of the lies this year, a little more bare, a touch linksy in places, especially with the wind and the dry weather. So I don't think it's going to be quite as simple as it was around the greens like last time. And that's, I mean, the one thing I remember about being here the last time is that's what I did so well. I chipped and putted so well that week, and that's what won me the tournament. I scrambled well, and it's, you know, if the wind keeps up like this again this week, that's what you're going to have to do well, is chip and putt well. But I think you're going to see guys playing a lot of different shots this week than maybe you saw back in 2012 around the greens.
Round 11.
Rory, first of all, was there a proper celebration after Quail Hollow? And what did that do for you now that you've had time to reflect on it, getting that win?
No, I got on the plane at about 7:45 on Sunday night, got home probably around 10, and that put Poppy to bed, and I took a shower and went to bed myself. I was exhausted, so not really. I had my mom and dad came around our house on Monday just to see me, I took a couple of days off at the start of the week, actually, because my neck was still a little stiff and I wanted to just make sure that cleared out, and then started to practice a little more on Wednesday leading up to this week. But no, like I said at the time, it was a great start. It was a great sort of validation that I'm working on the right things, but it was, you know, it was just a step in the process. It was wonderful to get the win, but even if I had came away from Quail without winning, I think I still would have been very encouraged with the sort of golf that I played.
Let's go to number 8.
Rory, I know you wanted Quail, even though you probably didn't have your best driving week and missed a lot of fairways. Can you have that kind of game and success here on this course if you don't hit it in the fairway?
If I don't miss from inside 6 feet this week, I'll be okay. I didn't drive the ball particularly. I didn't drive the ball badly on at Quail. There's a lot of crosswinds and there's a lot of dog legs, and the fairways play half of the width of what they actually are. There was a lot of tee shots that I hit good shots, but they just missed the fairway, or, you know, I hit like 3 tee shots on 14, the drivable par 4, that go into like a greenside trap or whatever, and they're missed fairways. So you know, if you can't really read too much into the stats. Yeah, I didn't drive at my best, but I certainly didn't drive it all over the lot. I actually hit it pretty well, but yeah, this is a golf course you need to put the ball in play. But you've got pretty wide fairways here. I think, you know, visually, like all Pete Dye courses, it's pretty intimidating off the tee visually. But then when you get up there, you realize you've got quite a bit of room. And, you know, I've always, you know, I remember back in 12, I liked it because there's a lot of targets on the horizon here that you can pick out and really focus in on your targets. Even if you're maybe hitting into a big expansive fairway, you can pick out TV towers or houses in the distance or trees, and you know that makes it a little easier.
Let's go to number 9, Bob, and then we'll zoom out for a few.
Hey, Rory. Bob. Just curious your thoughts at this point on the Olympics. It's obviously going to not be the experience that everybody would have hoped, and I wonder if that impacts your thinking at all about it. I've had some players that have bowed out, maybe more for scheduling reasons, but still.
Yeah, no, it's certainly not going to be the authentic, you know, Olympic experience that you would normally get. But it's the times that we're living in, I guess. Sort of no different than when you go over and play a tournament in Asia anyway. You see the golf course and the hotel, and that's sort of it. So it's not going to be that much different to what we play when we go over and play, you know, the HSBC or Zozo or CJ Cup or whatever. So, but yeah, it's, you know, it's not ideal, but, you know, it's still a good opportunity to do something that I've never done before. And, you know, I'm at least looking forward to, you know, as, you know, this is my 13th PGA Championship. I've been around now for a long time, so it's sort of rare to be able to do something for the first time again. And I'm sort of looking forward to that.
All right, let's zoom out to Daniel Rappaport. Daniel, you're with Rory. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, Rory. I'm wondering if, as last week sort of settles in, are you surprised at all at how quickly you're making progress swing-wise? And does a week like that change your expectations of what's reasonable to expect from yourself this week and in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always said when you're in the thick of it, it always seems further away than it is. And I guess the big thing that I was really encouraged with at Quail Hollow is, you know, it's my first time really getting myself into contention in a while, and to have those thoughts and movements sort of hold up under that pressure, you know, trying to win a golf tournament, coming down some really tough holes. That's what I was really pleased with. You know, the two shots on 16, the tee shot into 17. Obviously, the tee shot in the last wasn't great, but I got away with it. But those three shots coming, you know, to hit the shots exactly the way I wanted to and play those holes very well with a lead, you know, that's something that I haven't been able to do probably over the last 18 months, going back to the start of 2020. So I was very encouraged with that. So, yeah, it's something I'm just going to have to continue to work on, and I'm, you know, I want to get better. I want to, you know, I want my game to get better. I want to become more consistent. I want to be in those positions more often than I have been. And, that'll just mean, you know, keeping the head down and putting in the work. And, I've been doing that for the last couple of months, and it was nice to, see some results pretty early on, but you know, I feel like there's still a long way to go.
Another Zoom call here, Rory, from Dan Moriarty. Go ahead, Dan.
Rory, you mentioned your win here in 2012 feeling like a lifetime ago. How much has your life changed since that win?
A lot. A lot's changed. I'm in a completely different place in my life. Yeah, everything's changed, really. Yeah, I feel like a completely different person. So, a lot's changed. I think a lot's changed for the better. And yeah, I'm standing up here, probably more confident than myself, happier with where I am in my life. And just sort of you know, enjoying everything, enjoying life, enjoying everything a bit more. And yeah, it's all good.
Anne on number 10.
Hey, Rory, before your win at Quail Hollow, was there perhaps a bit of time where you might have lost belief in yourself? And if so, how'd you get through it?
Yeah, I don't, yeah, not belief in myself and belief that I couldn't do it again, but it's more the, it's the short, I think when you get into those scenarios, it's very easy just to think short term. Think of quick fixes, think of, okay, what can I do to try to get this better for next week? Or where you really have to take a step back and try to look at the big picture and be like, okay, you know, what do I need to do to, you know, be in the place I want to be in 6 months' time? And then that takes pressure off yourself. You're like, okay, this is a gradual process, and sort of take it step by step. I think when you're in that place of searching, it's all very short-term thinking, and instead of just thinking of the long term a little bit, seeing the bigger picture. And that's sort of really what I've tried to do. And that's why I keep saying that this is, you know, Quail was awesome. It was great to get a win, but you know, I'm thinking way beyond that. And I think that's why, you know, it's funny when you sort of think that way, something like that just sort of happens to fall into your lap. So it's almost like the less you try, the more things sort of go your way.
This is John Landis, your host for the Jam Session Radio Hour on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Sunday nights at 8, bringing you the best in local live jazz, all recorded live right here at some great venues on the east end of Long Island. And please stay tuned to 88.3 WLIW-FM, also heard on WLIW.org/radio, Long Island's only NPR station.
Serving eastern Long Island and coastal Connecticut, this is listener-supported 88.3 WLIW-FM and WLIW.org/radio, Long Island's only NPR station. Your source for news, music, and entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in Southampton, New York.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Aaron Meager, the CEO of Chillaxon CBD. Aaron, welcome back to Sports Interview.
Hi, Anne. Thank you, and happy spring.
Happy spring is right. And, you know, we talk a lot in the spring about mental health, right? And you've been involved with Chillaxon CBD now in your first year of launching this product. And let's talk about the connection between mental health and CBD. You know, mental health, good mental health, encompasses so much. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, mental health is really important, especially coming out of, you know, the winter and everyone having their seasonal fog. But good mental health for me is about clarity, being able to feel and express and manage my thoughts. You know, I have lead a very stressful life. And so being able to take moments of which I can figure out how to cope with that stress, not get worked up, not be short on my patience with my kids, things like that. It really helps me to have good mental health so I can be a really good mom, and then I can be a really good CEO at our company.
I know you have so many roles as a working mother, and when, you know, when you say mental health, what is mental health? So I looked it up, and it's defined by the World Health Organization as a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. Then I read an article, and according to the Center for Health and Well-Being, they say there are seven dimensions of well-being. There's physical well-being, there's intellectual well-being, environmental well-being, vocational well-being, social well-being, emotional well-being, and spiritual well-being. And if all these areas are in harmony, which I would think is impossible to have all those areas in harmony at the same time, I would think you have very positive mental health.
Now, well, how much seems a bit exhaustive.
I know, exactly. I mean, everything has to kind of be balanced, and that's a very hard thing to do mentally. But how would CBD make an impact in these areas, do you think?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that a lot of your physical health, which everybody tends to focus on, is tied to these other areas. So if you have good physical health, then you're more likely to have good mental health, or, you know, you'll be happier to be able to be have better social well-being, or, you know, so those things are how it's tied together. You know, so for CBD, we talk about it being able to help with, you know, your aches and pains. And when you're feeling better, you don't have those nagging injuries or things, then you can start to feel better. You can start to focus on your mental well-being. So you can start to get that harmony between all of them. I mean, I think one thing I would caution with is trying to be a perfectionist in all areas. I know that that's a lot of reasons why I struggle with mental health is trying to aim for that goal of perfectionism. And so what I really like to do is I like to take our CBD beverage enhancers, mix it in my drinks at the end of the day. Instead of reaching for a glass of wine, I'll reach for them. I can de-stress, decompress, think about my day of how I may not have gotten everything done, but I haven't got it done yet. So I'll come back to it tomorrow and really help adjust my focus and my mind around being in a better mindset at the end of the day. And I've been doing that with CBD now, and I've traded out my alcohol, which I still drink alcohol, but it's been a big a thing for me to make that transition.
Yeah, when you think of all the sugar in wine, I mean, we all love wine, right? But you kind of tend to feel it the next day, even, you know, the older I get, even if I'm just having like two or three glasses of wine, I feel it the next day. And my head's a little, you know, not 100%, you know, sharp the next day. So, but you don't get that same after effect with CBD, right? Because of the naturalness of it.
Right. And CBD is actually, you know, there's a lot of things that help with inflammation. And, you know, alcohol does cause inflammation. I think that's why when you wake up and you feel bad in the morning when you have it. So CBD is good for those anti-inflammatory properties.
Do you think we tend to take good mental health for granted?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes I think maybe people think, oh, I can't even attain that. So I'm not going to try. It seems like such an illusion because we've been trained to go, you know, and put more tasks on your list and things like that. So it really does require us to eat healthy, exercise, get restful sleep, you have to take time out for yourself first to be able to be on that path to good mental health.
We've talked about ways to alleviate stress, which is a big part of mental health. And you'd mentioned some of the things you do, you know, to de-stress. What do you do to alleviate stress and maintain good mental health overall?
You know, like many of us, I try to eat healthy. I've, you know, been in the natural foods industry for 12 years. And well before that, I've been, you know, eating a good diet with good fats and oils for your brain and, you know, organic food, exercise, sleeping well is really important for us. And that's definitely a challenge. I have little kids who like to run in my room in the middle of the night and snuggle. But it says, you know, studies show that people, when they feel more connected to others, like those little ones, you're overall happier. Even hearing the heartbeat of a loved one can lower your stress indicators. You know, and then there's things like meditating and lighting a candle. We have our you know, wonderful vanilla candles that really, you know, vanilla is a calming agent as well. So in our chillaxing candles, I like to light those in my office and keep me calm with those as well.
It sounds wonderful. There's so many different ways, and we'll get into the products a little bit later in the interview, but you have so many different products that really can enhance one's mental health. And mentioning that vanilla CBD chillaxin candle is, it's just a wonderful enhancer. It puts kind of everybody in that great mood, very relaxed mood. Well, I know athletes who use CBD to help feel calm before a big competition. How does it work, CBD, to reduce stress and anxiety?
Yes, the use of CBD among athletes is becoming more common as they discover the benefits. CBD is very therapeutic. It provides that calming relief. So you're more relaxed and focused in before a big game, a big tournament. It's going to enhance your mood. So you're ready, you know, for any curveballs that get thrown your way. We talked about sleep before. If you can, you know, use it as an athlete for sleep, so you have a good, you're really rested up. That's a benefit to you. And then, you know, there are studies that are showing that cannabinoids can help maintain the body's immune system and the endocannabinoid system, which a lot of doctors are finding more research around. It hasn't been studied in great detail. So it's really exciting, all the stuff that's coming out about that. In reducing inflammation, you know, regulating and balancing, you know, your overall well-being, so you can actually recover faster after those sporting events as well to get back out there. And as we age, we know it takes, you know, your recovery time is longer. So CBD helps in aiding with that recovery time.
There's just so many benefits of CBD, as you just mentioned. And I think more and more people are really starting to understand CBD and use CBD and speaking in favor of CBD. Do you feel a swing of momentum with more people trying CBD and sharing with others the positive impact of CBD?
Yes, absolutely. More and more people are trying CBD and they're seeing a benefit too, which is really important. However, there's still perception that CBD is marijuana when it is not. It's from a different plant. CBD stands for cannabinoid, and it's derived from the hemp plant, which is the cousin of marijuana. But again, it is not marijuana.
And so many natural benefits, you know, it helps manage stress, provides calming relief, enhances your mood, it's calming and therapeutic. It assists in, we did a whole blog on athletic recovery. And as you mentioned, fighting inflammation is huge. And I realize that wine kind of attacks, you know, inflammation instead of helping inflammation. So
I had somebody ask me too about CBD for autoimmune disorders. And, you know, I said, I haven't seen studies on it, but I've heard a lot of anecdotal stories where some of the autoimmune disorders, it's helping with that too, where you get some inflammation from some of those. So it's really great to hear more people coming up to me and asking me questions about what is it useful for? What have you heard? So that's what I really like, is helping to spread the message around between people and what they've found that it helps with.
And chillaxin CBD does not make you high. That's still the biggest misconception out there, I think, about CBD.
Yes. So those same people that come up to me and ask me, what are the benefits? They're asking me as well, does this get me high? And, you know, chillaxin CBD will not. It does not have any detectable THC levels in it.
I recently shared the product with a colleague of mine in the radio business, and his wife was having trouble sleeping. And I sent her some product, and she said it worked immediately. And she also asked, though, is there any, and like, she didn't really know how much of it to actually take. And what's your suggestion about that?
So which product did you send her again?
I sent her a few things, but she was taking the tincture for to help her sleep at night.
Yes. So we do have a organic based oil tincture. And so what's really good with that is you can take a dropper and put a few drops underneath of your tongue sublingually. And so it's really good to be able to absorb quickly under your tongue that way. So you'd be able to feel the benefits very quickly. And so before going to bed, you want to be able to fall asleep quickly, not wait up another half hour or an hour before you get into that REM sleep. And again, like the tinctures are really good because we also use coconut oil as a base, and coconut oil is really good for brain health as well. So if you're getting a double hit of good things between the coconut oil and the CBD from our tinctures.
And it works, it can work immediately with some people, and with others, you know, you have to do it for a little bit before you feel a difference, right? It just depends on the person.
Yeah, it definitely depends on those sorts of things. You know, the common held thought is that the more that you use CBD, the more you'll be able to, you know, feel that benefit and build up over daily use of the product.
So what chillaxin products are best? We've been talking about mental health and CBD. What do you recommend as far as the chillaxin products for positive mental health?
So I definitely recommend our Signature U product. It's what we already talked about. It's the organic oil-based tincture because it does have a high concentration of CBD in it, along with the coconut oil, and which we talked about is good for brain health. That's actually, you know, one of the products that we started with 12 years ago was coconut oil. And, you know, we actually donate $1 of every bottle sold to mental health organizations to help with the continuing education and improvement of our mental health.
And I woke up with kind of like a stiff pinky. I don't know what's happening to me. You know, it's not fun to get older, but and I put the roll-on on, and for me that works immediately. And when I have a neck issue, I roll it on my neck and my shoulder, and that roll-on is very therapeutic. And to me, it's immediately relief.
And there you go. Once you get that physical relief, then you have time to work on your mental health.
Exactly. Well, that's right. I mean, you have to feel physically, everything has to work together, going back to those seven, you know, topics as far as working all together, the seven dimensions of good mental health. So it's hard to get everything working together, you know, your personal life, your professional life, your physical being, your mental being. But I know CBD can play a very positive role in all of that. I really appreciate you coming on, Erin. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes. You know, people can go to our website. It's chillaxin.com, chillaxn.com. And they can learn more about CBD. We have a blog that talks about CBD and mental health and other benefits that you can get from using the product. So if you want, they can go there and educate themselves more about CBD and see all the products that we do have.
Thanks so much, Erin Meagher, CEO of Chillaxin CBD, for being on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.
Thanks, Anne.
My thanks to the folks in media at the PGA Championship. My thanks to Rory McIlroy, to Jordan Spieth, and to Erin Meagher, CEO of Chillaxin CBD, and to Delaney Hefner in the studio. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the PGA Championship, and I'll talk to you next Saturday right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.